Good morning, everyone. I love pulling out extra chairs, so it is wonderful to see so many of you here this morning to hear from one of our own, Jeanette Rizek. So I'm going to give a quick bio, but I think many of you already know her. So Jeanette has been kind enough to wrap up the series that we have been doing on engaging the world through song, study, and service. So Jeanette is the executive director of Workwell, which is a nonprofit that provides life skills and job training to people in Mercer County who have been released from prison or whose lives have otherwise been affected by the justice system. She grew up in Egypt, where she earned an MA in anthropology from the American University in Cairo. And after a series of adventures in the field of international development, helping launch a media production NGO, assisting in the creation of a docudrama series on HIV awareness in the Middle East, and teaching a directing course in Sudan and Morocco, she took a job with the European Union to set up an ecotourism company for the Bedouin Habelia tribe in South Sinai. This was followed by two jobs in which Jeanette, among many other tasks, developed strategies to turn Egyptian women's handicraft skills into genuine business ventures. So I'm sure we could ask Jeanette all manner of questions, but we'll be super excited to hear about Workwell today. Before we turn things over, please join me in prayer. God, we are grateful that although it is chilly, the sun is shining, which feels like a metaphor for the moment. And Father, just pray that you would give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear what you have for us this morning as we wrap up this series. God, we thank you for the gift of Jeanette, for her work and her witness, and for the opportunity to hear her story and the story she brings with her this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, I think it's now on. I'm just going to stick this in my pocket. So nice to see so many familiar faces. I am going to spend about half an hour with some input from a graduate of our program and many volunteers who are in the room who have been working very closely with Workwell, who are also part of this congregation, to give you an overview of the work we do. So before I start talking about the Workwell program, I want to situate us within the US. More than 78 million people have a criminal record, and this number is even on the conservative side. I found some that are much higher than that. So that comes to about a quarter of the population. That's about as many people who have a bachelor's degree in the United States. So to put that into perspective, it's hard to wrap your head around it. And then you think about this population having a difficult time entering the workforce. So this is the subgroup that we at Workwell are focusing on. And then to focus in on Mercer County, there's about a 4.4% unemployment rate. Trenton is higher, 7.2. But if you look at people who have a record, formerly incarcerated individuals have 27% unemployment rate. So this is where Workwell comes into the picture. We are based in Trenton. And now to give you an overview of what we specifically do, our work within the community, our mission is working together to equip the justice involved with job skills, dignity, and hope. The vision of the program is to have a world where all are enabled to find dignity through a stable life and meaningful work. We do that through a variety of values that we exhibit both through the staff who work at Workwell, the volunteers who are there, and really everyone that the participants come in touch with, our partners. I spend a lot of time to very carefully pick the individuals who work with our participants. That's the most important piece to me, that we all have the same vision and the same mission as we do this work. So for the community, it's building a coalition of partners who help our participants overcome the tremendous hurdles that they face. Compassion, we're judgment-free. They come into our space, into an environment that is judgment-free. We are committed to persist in the face of obstacles so that our participants can also overcome their obstacles. Restoration, we are all works in progress. We see the best in people, and we know that their tomorrow is better than their yesterday. Integrity, we are who we say we are, and we keep our commitment to the participants who come into the program. The program is 4 weeks long. We run 8 a year, And the way we have it structured is 2 weeks of life skills and 2 weeks of job skills. And throughout that time, we cover the transportation with bus passes and a warm meal. The meal is something that's very important to me that we share. We sit at one table together, the staff, whoever guests are there, and that's a time of also building community. And then upon graduation, everyone receives a stipend based on attendance. So we structure it similar to a job, like you have to come on time and you have to stay till the end, and then based on the attendance, they will receive a stipend. The goal of the overall program is to get everyone employed. And that is maybe, it is a very big challenge, both with the barriers that our participants face and also jobs that are easily accessible from Trenton. And we just, I will go into it more in a minute. And then throughout the 4 weeks, our participants are accompanied by a case manager and a career navigator who from day one look at what are the needs, and we will go into that more closely also, and also get them ready to begin employment. So who can take part in the program? You have to have a record, so you have to have what is called a criminal record. That doesn't necessarily mean you have been incarcerated. Most often it does, but we have had people who have a record and therefore have struggled to get employment. So we want people in the program who are motivated to work. They need to be ready to work. They can't be in any other programming. They have to be there full time for the 5 days a week for 4 weeks, and they have to be older than 18. So a bit more about the case management services that we provide. So housing is a very big need in Trenton. There's not enough housing. We do our best with the partners we have, but it is definitely an area where we need to see more. We need to see more growth. We need to see more landlords willing to rent to people who have a record. And so we're constantly talking to partners, to finding out ways how we can expand that piece. Health insurance, we work on making sure everyone has health insurance when they leave our program. We talk about nutrition. We make sure if they're eligible for SNAP that they get a SNAP. We provide from day one, because without an ID, you cannot work. So from day one, we make sure that they have at least the IDs that they need, are required. Through our partners, we have Trenton Area Soup Kitchen has a grant to pay for the IDs, so we work closely with them and make sure that people have the ID in time to start working once they graduate. And then we also work with the United Way, who brings in twice per cohort someone to help us with tax preparation, free tax preparation, and also enrolling in a lot of other services. And we say that we support people for 3 years after graduation. Now, why did we choose the number three? Because 3 years is, once people have passed 3 years, the recidivism rate drops dramatically. So in order to become stable, you really, those first 3 years are critical. A few words about our team. We have a wonderful group supporting this work. Anthony has been with us from the first cohort. On Monday we start our 28th cohort. So we keep doing these courses. And then we have Andrea Curtin, who does the case management. Palash Banerjee joined 3 months ago, and he does the career navigation. So his was a very key piece that we needed to add to build these relationships with employers. So that's one area we hope to see a lot of growth. We plan to see a lot of growth in the next year to have employers who we can follow up with directly, rather than just sending you off to Home Depot or some other job and hope for the best. We know we can call the employer and say, how is Matthew doing? How is there anything that he needs? So this is an exciting piece to have him on the team. And then Damon Jackson is supports with everything that is needed to run the course, from preparing the meals. He's always in the classroom. He does the attendance and all the little pieces that are part of the course. So our name is the Workwell Partnership. In order to run the work, we need a lot of partners. I'm not going to go into on each slide all the different partners. You can read them. If you have questions, we can go into that later. But there are four areas where we focus our partnerships. We have the referrals. So everyone who comes to our program, they find out about us through our partners. We're constantly building new relationships. We're known with parole, probation, and various other, we got a grant so that we can recruit pre-release in prisons all over New Jersey. It sounds very good, but the reality of that is still takes time, because even if they know about us, once they come out, potential participants or program are faced with so many different issues that keeping a piece of paper or following up is very overwhelming in those first few days. So even though we are now, the good thing is we're a known entity in the prisons, but we're still working on actually getting people from that first phone call into the program. And it's so we are seeing some improvement, but it's definitely a work in progress also. The next area where we have a lot of partners is the actual training course. So we have a four-week course that was developed through our partner Uplift Workforce Solutions. They are an organization out of Philadelphia that runs the program since many years, and they have trained the staff, they have mentored, their CEO mentors me twice a month, I meet with him. So they really have come alongside us to help us grow this program in Trenton. In order to enrich the program and the curriculum that we have, we bring in a lot of presenters. So we talk about relapse prevention. We have wonderful partners who are able to have their funding and are able to run their programs in the time that we have our participants with us for those 4 weeks. So just to mention, highlight a few, Empowerment House is a wonderful partner, as well as Chase Bank. We have one of our strongest partners is a community manager from a bank who comes twice to provide literacy training throughout the program, and make sure he talks to them, you're going to receive $400. What are you going to do with those $400 when you graduate? Many have come and many have brought their friends to set up bank accounts. They go to him for advice. And he is, after graduation, they know that they have someone they can talk to about everything related to banking, which is such an important piece once you start work. What are you going to do with that paycheck? We also talk about healthy eating, nutrition. We really try to talk about a holistic approach to what is it to have a stable life. What are the things that we need to eat healthy? We cook a meal together, which is a really wonderful, my favorite day of the program, where we cook together and then eat together. And they serve us, which is a nice, the participants sit and serve us the meal. So it's a nice reversal. And then we also have Dr. Charles Atkins, who's at the seminary. Some of you might know him. He comes at the last day of the course. He's developing a two-hour workshop on, he has worked with formerly incarcerated individuals, and he brings them who have very successful careers to brainstorm and prepare our participants for that day after graduation, and gives them a lot of motivation for that next step. And then Andrea, in terms of the another area where we have a lot of partners are the community networks. Who are the other partners within the community that help us? I'd already mentioned TASK with IDs. We make sure with the NJ Hospital Association that everyone has health care before they leave. And then many other partners. I will not go into too much detail because I want to give time to our volunteers and to our graduate to speak. In terms of volunteers, we have a lot of volunteers at this church. Maybe everyone who's one, can you just raise your hand if you're a volunteer at Workwell? So we have several people here, and Grace has also come once. We're always looking for more volunteers. This is a wonderful way to get involved with our program. On Saturdays, we have two Saturdays per program. So that's a total of 16 per year. We have our volunteers come for 3 hours from 9 a.m. to noon to work on the first one. They will have their resume ready, and they're going to be working on interview skills based on their resume. So they do mock interview practice with the volunteers. And then the second Saturday, they have a list of places to apply for, so job applications. And they work one-on-one, just working through that list and applying for jobs. It's a wonderful way to get to know our participants and also build relationships, and we're going to hear about one of those in a minute here. And then employment. So you see, it's not a very big list yet, but we're constantly working on building those employer relationships. So currently our participants apply like everyone else, and have to go through the same process as everyone else. With the employer partners, our hope is that they can jump the line, so to speak, and have an advantage and be able to get a job without having to go through a lot of the steps, and especially with the background checks that will often automatically disqualify them before they even get to the point of having a face-to-face interview. So here's one of those meals I spoke about with our chef, Jared. And then up here, you'll see some of our volunteers after a Saturday training. And our building is very cold currently, and so that's why everyone's wearing jackets. We are looking and searching for a new location in Trenton because we are housed at 120 East State Street, a wonderful space, but they're about to get, they're raising money to begin their renovations. And we know that our time there is almost up, and we need to find a permanent location where we can run our program in Trenton so we can continue to serve the community there. And now I'm going to ask Larry to join me. Come on up. Just turn on your...
Excuse me.
Got it on. Okay.
Hello. You hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm Larry, and I'm a graduate of Workwell, and it's a pleasure to be here to answer questions. You know what? No better place I would love to be, and first to be amongst you wonderful people and to be actually in the house of God.
So I have a few questions for Larry, and then at the Q&A, you can have some more questions for Larry. So prior to joining the Workwell program, what were some of the biggest challenges that you were facing when you were re-entering the workforce?
Actually, as being something that I'm really not proud of, but life circumstances had led me to make some bad choices in my life, and I had was incarcerated, and I had decided to change my life. And I went back to school. I had graduated from college, and unfortunately, the wreckage of my past had showed up for me. And I went looking for jobs, and because of the record and a couple felonies I had, they told me that they could not hire me.
So, what led you to the Workwell program?
Well, I had an interview, and the guy called me for the interview, and like I said, he ran my record and he told me that he couldn't hire me, so he was letting me know about this program that they had downtown Trenton called Workwell, and then I called them, and they set me up for an interview, and the process happened so fastly, and I did what they asked me to do.
Great. And that was actually through a partner organization, Helping Arms on Asher Street. We just went through that before the meeting. So it's always nice to see how the partnerships work. What were your expectations when you joined the program?
Actually, you know, I read what, you know, the brochure had said. And, you know, at this point in time, I was just, you know, running on hope, you know, and, you know, only thing that I could do is just go and, you know, pray and just ask the God of my understanding to allow me to, you know, have faith in this program. And I just went with faith.
So, would you like to share just the story of a volunteer? I think this would be a good time to.
Yeah, so when I went into the program, it was set up like it was here. And they were set up in different aspects of, you know, life skills and the resume, which I had everything, you know, set up with. I had the resume at that point in time. I had already completed. I was like a couple credits shy of my associate degree at that present time. And I had already had a certificate for drug addiction counseling because that was the career that I wanted to go through, because that was the reason why I really had was locked up, because I had a drug addiction counselor, which led me in and out of incarceration. So, to bring it up to why I was in workforce was because I was trying to get a job in drug to become a drug addiction counselor, and because of my record, I couldn't get hired. So I was in workforce. And we was having these classes, and you know, the weekend came, and coming up to the resume writing, and I was linked up with this lady, her name is Ann Coon, sitting right here, and I explained to her my situation about, you know, I'm going on interviews, and I'm passing the interview process with the resume and the urine checks, and when it came down to being hired, the record stopped me. So she let me know that she had a couple individual people that she knew that were working in certain places. excuse me, I just get emotional because it's like, it just worked out so, you know, tremendous, because it was the beginning of where I'm at today, because God had sent somebody my way, and I had gave up on hope because I thought it was the end of, you know, me just working so hard for something that I thought, and it just thought that it would never happen, because I put so much work into going to school, and I thought because I had made a bad choice in my life that I would never be able to become something. But, you know, she gave me a phone number. She asked me to reach out to this man, and he told me, he said, just go look on the hiring list, and whatever job that you see that you're capable of doing, just put in the application for it and call HR and let them know I sent you. And it worked out just like he said. And then I knew at that point in time that there is hope, you know. And that was the beginning of my career as a drug addiction counselor. And then I said, from then, you know, I owe it first to the God of my understanding. And if there was anything that I can do for Work Well or Miss Ann Coon, that I would be here. And that's why, one of the reasons that I am here today, because it's about, you know, when someone helped you, if you can be there to help someone, if there's anything that I can help anyone that has gone through the process that I'm going through, I will make it my business to be able to help them. And just from that point on, you know, I began to pursue my career in drug addiction counseling. And there has been some hurdles, even in the job that this man have helped me with, but it didn't stop my process, even like the hurdle of the wreckage of my past, because I know that life isn't easy. You know, there's going to be some ups and downs, you know, but I persevered through it. And today I did graduate with my bachelor's degree, I'm working for a place called Creative Change. I have my own desk today. You know, I'm working with a juvenile. I'm, you know, working with people that is going through the same thing that I went through. You know, I'm a vision of hope today. I'm not that person that has to answer to a number today, you know, and I'm just so grateful to be here today to stand on this side. I'm a productive member of society today, you know, and I know that, you know, life isn't easy for me today. You know, I don't have to answer to the voices that tell me that I'm nothing today, you know, because I am something today. And I'm just grateful to be here. And I thank
Who's Jeanette?
Jeanette for asking me to come. And I apologize just for being emotional, because, you know, it's been a long journey for me. And I thank you.
I think that's not yet. We'll ask more. That was wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right.
Now that everyone's teared up. So. Volunteers have a tough act to follow. I was going to ask a couple of our wonderful volunteers just to share a few words. And we'll definitely circle back. Yes, we're almost done with the presentation, and we'll circle back for questions. Anne, do you want to share a few? Maybe we start with you, just from your perspective.
Oh, goodness. I don't think I can top what Larry said, but I would just say, God works in mysterious ways. And there were, 12 or 15 people in that room. And somehow I got paired with Larry, and it was wonderful. And I could tell from the very beginning, like the first time we started talking and introducing ourselves, that you were special. In a really unique way, your thought process, and you were so indomitable, like your spirit was really just shining through. You were determined to get through whatever adversities that you had experienced. And then as we got to work together, and I just have to say this, I encourage every one of you to come to work well and experience a session on a Saturday. It's such a small portion of your time. And what you get back is so much more than what you give. I learned so much from Larry, and I do every time I go, and I know that you all feel the same. I don't know. I think God just placed us together because it just so happened that I had an HR contact who was in a program in Philadelphia for addiction counseling and substance abuse. It's amazing. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Anyway, you will experience those miracles yourself if you come. Okay, so.
Thank you, Anne. I think that just shows the power of networks and bringing people together from different walks of life and how those networks extend. Every time we give these presentations, I meet one or two new people, and they just bring so much more to our program and help strengthen it and make it what it is now. Mary, would you like to share a couple of words?
Yep. This is okay. So I'm just an ordinary person who saw an opportunity to use skills that I have. What were those skills? I've looked for a job for a lot of years, like different careers. I've switched careers so many times. So I thought, okay, I've written a lot of resumes. I can help people write resumes, right? And part of my job as a communications and a change person is to sit with people and ask the right questions. So I do this in my work, right? Well, I can do this. Well, I showed up at the first session of Workwell. I met so many really cool people. These people who come to Workwell are motivated. They want to change their lives. And they're entrepreneurial, yes, they're entrepreneurial. They made a few questionable choices, and so the entrepreneurialness got them into the system. But that's another matter. They're entrepreneurial, they're creative, they have skills they don't even know about. So I just want everybody to think for a minute. Think of a time when you tried to look for a job or get into something, a group or something, and you had trouble talking about what was special about yourself. Think of a time, again, a different time when somebody might have told you, put you down. Think about a time when they treated you like a number or didn't recognize your skills. Now, maybe some of us have that in this room. Probably a lot more people than we think. Well, when you're incarcerated, you're treated like a number from day one, I think. You tell me, Larry. Mm-hmm. But this is what I understand. And some of us can lack a lot of confidence just normally. But when you go into the system and you're just treated like a number and you come out and then you have to tell people what's special about you so that you can find a job and on top of it you have a record, that's really tough. So if someone like me can do any little thing to help people discover what's special about themselves. Discover what's there. They have talents that are unbelievable when we meet these people. discover what God means for them to do. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to talk about yourself, toot your own horn, and discover, especially when you've been treated like a number. So I bet you a whole lot of people in this room could help people, and you will get so much more back with the people you meet and the people you're able to help, and you walk out of that room and you go, wow, I met somebody really interesting, and I was able to give them that little bit of information. And in some cases, like Anne, she was able to set up a connection. The Lord works in mysterious ways. So go for it.
Thank you, Mary. Tom, if you'd say a few words, sure, about your experience. Yeah.
So this the Saturday mornings I learned are just a small slice of what Workwell does, and it was after that first day that volunteering that it was just, I was so glad. I had volunteered enough in prison education, literacy and such that when I saw the program, it was like, I learned there was a Saturday part that I was part of, but then there was all this other stuff. And it was like, I was so glad that it existed. And then this one little thing was just, it crystallized everything. It was a Saturday morning, I think they were resume preparation or the, and I got teamed up with Mary Brown, and we got teamed up with a returning citizen and the a young man, and so we were working on resumes, and we were going over through this, and I got the sense pretty quickly that both of us could spin a yarn as well as anyone, and but we looked, and the more we looked, it was like saying, there was very little there to spin something with. We were stumped, and then it was the, and then I looked on there, and he had a folder, and I asked, on the picture, he had drawn this picture of a truck, and on the lettering and on the side it said, Everlasting Prayer, and LLC, and I asked him about it, and he said, oh yeah, he turned out that he owned the rights to this LLC, and his dream was to get a small truck, do local deliveries. And so then it was like, oh, he dreamt about having his own small business. So then it was the, so then I went to a Workwell coordinator, and I floated this idea by him, and it turned out that it could help him in multiple ways. So the first one was that it could hook him up with training to get his commercial driver's license. It could get him a job in trucking, so humping freight, to be young and strong again. So, and third, it was the, when he was ready, it could connect him with SCORE, Service Corps of Retired Executives, and it provides mentoring, entrepreneur mentoring for people, and the and so there was this, all of a sudden there was this roadmap for how he could realize his dream, and then for me that was very profound, and the and you know, going, circling back to all these other points made, is that for me it was there was this glimmer of hope, and for with people who are often very discouraged, and it was just seeing that for me was just, where would I rather be on a Saturday morning? It's just so.
Thank you, Tom. So after these wonderful people sharing, I'm going to put a notebook right here. If you're interested in volunteering or learning more, put your name and email address, and we will be contacting you. So I'm pretty much at the end of my presentation. I just wanted to share a few pictures. This is one of a graduate on graduation day. This is our most recent graduation a couple of weeks ago. We had 8 wonderful graduates, and if you want to hear more stories like Larry's, please, each of you should have, when you came in, did you get a flyer? Now, I don't want you to take that home and put it in a drawer. I want you to put it somewhere, hang it up somewhere, advertise and tell your friends about it. The space we're in Hamilton, Light of the World Family Church, has 200 seats. I would like to fill those seats. We are going to have several graduates who are talking about their life similar to what you heard from Larry, and share about the many barriers they face and what it is like to try and move forward after having been incarcerated. So I hope to see some of you there, all of you, if possible, would be wonderful. And ways you can get involved. We're always looking for those employment partners. So you might know someone, you might have a small business, and you might be open to even just hiring one person. You will change one person's life. And that's how, it's all these networks and communities, as I already said. So please come talk to me if you have any suggestions, any ideas, if you know someone. This is how we grow these partnerships. And then again, the notebook will be here for anyone interested in volunteering. And of course, we're always in fundraising mode. So if you know of a donor or someone who might be interested in getting involved to financially support our program, we are about 5 years old. And this year is the first year that we have raised the funds for the fiscal year, but we're always just making it. My goal for this year is to have some extra reserves in the bank that we can run and keep growing this program. There's a lot, the need is there, it is very much present, and we want to be able to meet that need in Mercer County and in Trenton. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right, questions?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask you how Workwell got started.
We were started by the Lawrenceville Presbyterian Church, right? So Pastor Jeff Vamos, who I'm sure Dave knows, had their church in their strategic planning realized that there was this big need, and they, as a church, wanted to meet it. And it started as Cookwell. I was hired to run a culinary training program, but it was 2 weeks before the pandemic shut down. I never got to do the culinary training piece because restaurants were closed and there was just nowhere to train people.
So you were there at the beginning?
Yes. No, well, the beginning of Workwell.
Of Workwell,
so
yes.
So Cookwell had been started in 2018.
Yep. How often is mental illness a problem with the people who attend or are involved in your program?
That's a very good question. I would say trauma is 100% for anyone who has been incarcerated, and I don't know if you would agree with that, Larry.
Yes. It goes along with the addiction.
Yeah, addiction is prevalent. The issue that we often run into is that even though we see the trauma and we have whole sessions dedicated, we work with Creative Change Counseling, where Larry works now, we have a therapist come in and talk about trauma. The willingness to, or there's so much stigma associated with addressing trauma that most of our participants don't want to receive therapy. And that's one thing that we're really working on, trying to overcome that stigma and have them be open to working on through that trauma. And maybe, I don't know, Larry, do you want to say some words about that since that's your field? Trauma in with returning citizens.
Trauma in addiction?
Yeah, in the population that we serve.
It's basically trauma and addiction. It's together with the anxiety and the depression. A lot of clients don't want to accept the trauma that mm-hmm. comes with, like the abandonment issues and the stress and stuff that it's just not addressed.
Yeah.
You know, they're in denial about yeah. it, along with the addiction.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good morning. I have a question for Larry.
Yes.
First, I think all of us so much appreciated your sharing your story. It was really inspiring to hear you talk about your experiences. I wanted to ask you, though, about your current situation and your future. You talked about your past and the challenges you have to overcome, the wreckage of your past. I think you might have mentioned at one point that phrase. But it strikes me that your experience might have been really important in preparing you to be effective, to be really good at what you're doing now. That the drug addiction counseling, you said you're working with a young man, that you may be better positioned, better prepared, better equipped to work with people in that field than most anybody else. Can you talk about the benefit of the past in helping you to do what you're doing now and into the future?
Absolutely. Actually, if it really wasn't for my past, actually it equips me for my future. My future is way better than my past. My past, I have goals that now the experiences of my past makes me to be a better person for my future, because it allowed me what not to do to make the same mistakes that I made in my past. So it allows me to set a journey to help people not to make some of the mistakes that I did. So I'm learning to overcome some of the thoughts that I may have in the past, to know that a thought may come, but I don't have to act out on that thought the way that I used to think. And when the thought comes, play the whole tape out of what that thought can do. And then think about the benefits, what will happen if I don't do that, of the benefits that how I can benefit from if I don't, and continue to do the right next thing.
I'm curious about why you chose 4 weeks for the course. That seems like a short time to learn an awful lot of things, when most of us, if we take a course, are in a lot longer than 4 weeks.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. We could probably easily run the course longer, but a lot of participants are under immense pressure to begin work, and they have parole and probation officers who they need to start work in order to not get reincarcerated. So there is that is one aspect of it. We also, in part also, in order to, we definitely see that 4 weeks is just getting people on the right track. We don't see us as, this is not, we can't solve or address everything that needs to be addressed in 4 weeks, and that's why we hand anyone who has specific needs, we hand them over to other partners, and they can follow up with us. Long term, we are actually in the midst of strategic planning, and we are exploring how we could make it a longer program. It's also a financial question, because we do pay a stipend, and how many courses can we run if they're that much longer than how many? I call it a boutique course because they're quite small. We have like between 8 to 15 people in one course. And so those people get in very intense support during those 4 weeks. We have the staff of four who's there daily, who works with them, plus all the volunteers. So it's a very intensive time. And then from that, we hope to just give them the hope and the energy and the motivation to move on to the next step. But we do know that in order to get funding, we need to also graduate some people from the program. So that is the twofold piece of that.
Carol, you get the last question.
Jeanette, I couldn't tell from the pictures whether women were a part of this. Are they?
Yes.
What percentage?
I would say it's a small percentage. They often, yeah, so I'd say like one or two per cohort. But if you come to the panel event, we have a lot of women who agree to present at the panel. So we have some very wonderful women who come through the program.
All right, can we get another round of applause for Jeanette and Larry and the volunteers? Mm-hmm. Jeanette, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I would be remiss if I did not remind you that we are starting our LinkedIn Learning series, called To the Impossible, Life Through Death. If you don't already know what LinkedIn Learning is, Nate Stuckey is going to be speaking during Adult Ed, and he'll be speaking on the same scripture verses that Dave is preaching on from the pulpit on Sundays and that the small groups are talking through in their small group meetings. It's a chance for all of us to be having a together conversation, even when we're not all together. And so I really hope that you'll be able to participate in some portion of that for your time and attention today.